Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. My email address is bam@Catholicism.org. I can also be found easily on Twitter at Brother_Andre and on Facebook. Our topic this evening is a new order of crusaders. And my guest is Brother Alexis Buñolo, a Franciscan hermit. He is a scholar. He's a translator of the works of St. Bonaventure. He's the registrar of the Scholasticum, which is a new academic undertaking based in Italy. He's the author of the Italian language L'Osservanza Antica, a Franciscan website. He's the editor of the scholarly and voluminous Franciscan Archive, which also has its own associated blog. And he last spoke at our conference, with the St. Benedict Center conference, 2 years ago on the subject of creation and the divine order of things. He's going to be speaking again at our conference this year as sort of a late addition to the program on the subject, A True Work of Mercy, A New Order of Crusaders. And this is going to concern a new venture that he's founding, and I'm going to be talking with him tonight about this very thing, which is not just an honorary knighthood of a sort, guys that get together and you know, maybe drink beer and play with toy swords or something, but it's an actual military fighting force of armed Catholic men dedicated to defending the faithful, initially in those areas where they are beset by the jihadists of ISIS, and subsequently wherever they may find themselves to be of need. This is an organization that will have real men with real guns shooting and being shot at by fanatical anti-Christians who have been destroying some of the most ancient Christian populations on earth in the Middle East, specifically in the plains of Nineveh, in the area of northern Iraq. So, Brother Alexis, thank you very much for joining me and welcome.
Thank you, Brother Andre.
So I guess the first question for you is, what's a nice Franciscan like you going about the bloody business of war?
I would have to say, personally, it's the martyrdom of Father Jacques Hamel in France at the end of July. I was in Europe at the time, and there was a lot of media coverage, and to see what happened to that poor priest for no reason except the pure hatred of the Catholic faith, it shocked me. I come from a family that's military, and when I was young, I wanted to join the military, but I didn't have the health. I became a friar, and God gave me back my health. So as a friar, I never had any particular interest, I must say. But I've always thought that the best thing Catholics can do today is to revive the ancient Catholic institutions the way they were before the French Revolution. And that is the best way to restore and defend the Catholic faith. So I've always thought that the crusading orders, who were real religious orders for men who had the vocation to be a soldier, are something greatly lacking in Christianity in the church today. But I've always said to myself, you know, that's for a military man. That's, you know, God will raise up some military man and someday they'll come back. But once I saw that this poor priest, I mean, who is so friendly with the Muslims in his town there in Normandy, that he donated land of the parish to them to build a mosque and held meetings with them like every couple months to build up friendship, that two people should come into mass, two crazy jihadists, and demand that he kneel. He refused because he knew that meant subjection to Islam. So they shoved him down on the ground, they slit his throat, and they stabbed him several times in the chest and in the back, right in front of the altar during Mass. Mm. I mean, I have such a great respect for priests. For me, because I'm not a priest, I'm just a brother, but for me, a priest is an ambassador of God. You attack a priest like that, you are attacking God himself. So I said, I can't wait any longer. I mean, what am I going to do, Lord? I was praying in the church of St. Francis in Bagnoregio. I said, you know, what can I do? And it seemed to me Our Lord was saying, you search for the men and you will find them, and you bring them together to do this holy work. Because, you know, we talk about the works of mercy. And when you learn your works of mercy, none of them is pick up a sword and defend the innocent. However, the whole concept of mercy is to help the innocent, the suffering, the needy, especially those in extreme need. And I think we probably all admit that we have waited for our governments in the West to do something about the Christian genocide in Iraq, because that's what's going on. 80% of the Catholics in Iraq have been either killed or driven from their country. That's about 2.4 million Catholics who have suffered under, and right now the jihadists either control, dominate, or threaten nearly all of Iraq, either by bombings or actual military occupation. Mm. And let's not even mention Syria, where there are many millions of Catholics who are living, and they're constantly under threat of other Islamic jihadist groups, either those supported by Western powers or ISIS itself.
Yeah, you say we shouldn't wait for our governments to fix the problem. I don't think our governments will fix the problem. I think they largely caused the problem, at least indirectly, by creating the power vacuum that made this this ISIS thing possible.
Yes, that is true. But even more profoundly, the modern Western governments are all influenced by the French Revolution and the Masonic Order, and they cannot even conceive of defending Christians. That is not even in their vocabulary, because the whole purpose is to undermine Christianity. 2 weeks ago, the new French ambassador to Lebanon on Twitter said he would take questions from anyone between 5 and 6 p.m. Beirut time today on Twitter. So I made a point to tweet out to him a question, and I asked in my tweet, do Christians have the right to defend themselves by arming themselves against religious persecution? And you know what he said back to me?
No.
He said no. Mm. He said, you have the right to arm yourself if you want to defend your human liberty or your human freedoms, but not only for religious liberty. So I tweeted back to him. I said, well, is that a yes or a no? And he tweeted back. He said, have you never heard of diplomacy? The objective is to use diplomacy to avoid future conflicts. So I tweeted back to him, and he didn't reply to my final tweet. I said, well, if that's correct, why does France have a military?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, haven't they heard of diplomacy?
If diplomacy is so effective, why do you have a military? So basically what he's saying is, and his response might seem absurd, maybe ill-informed, but it's perfectly Masonic. Mm-hmm. Because the Masons don't want Christians to defend the right of their own religious liberty with the force of arms. Because, as the NRA says, or frequently the United States, all rights return to the Second Amendment. All rights return to the right of bear arms. If you don't have the right to recourse of arms, you don't have a civil right. Mm-hmm. You might have a right theologically or philosophically, but you have no civil right. Now, civil rights are the rights that the state recognizes you have. So for France to say the Christians don't have that right is pure. France has to say that after the French Revolution. They destroyed the Catholic Church. They attempted to massacre all our priests and our religious. They burnt the monasteries to the ground, and they persecuted the church for two centuries in that country, mm-hmm. one way or the other. So if they admit they have the right. But the reason why I asked the ambassador this, I said, I want to see how far they're willing to go, because Lebanon, half of Lebanon, is governed by Christian militia. Mm-hmm. Lebanon has all its different little regions, and each religious group has its own militia. And that's why Lebanon is a nation of peace today, because after the revolution in 78 when Syria withdrew, all the religious groups got their own militias. And it's a perfectly stable country today because they defend the right of individuals to bear arms, but especially Christians. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the position of France, which is currently sending an aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf for the fight in Mosul, their obvious objective after the ISIS is taken out of there is not to give Christians their liberty and not allow them to bear arms and to persecute them using all the other Muslim groups. Yeah. So we have to do something, because if we sit around and allow our brothers and sisters in that part of the world to be completely massacred, we're next.
Mm-hmm. Now, brother, let me just cut in here. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother André Marie. I'm interviewing Brother Alexis Buñolo, Franciscan hermit, who is organizing a new order of crusaders. By the way, the name of the order, brother, is the Ordo Militaris, correct?
Ordo Militaris Catholicus.
Ordo, yes. Militaris Catholicus.
Okay. Catholic is its full name, but mm-hmm. We, for short, we say Ordo Militaris. In fact, all the old medieval orders, their names always begin with Ordo Militaris.
Okay.
Then there's the Ordo Militaris of St. John Hospitaller, and Ordo Militaris Teutonicus, which is the Teutonic Knights, and the Ordo Militaris Templaris would be the Templars. But so we chose the Latin because the Latin's universal sign of the Catholic faith.
So there is a. I asked you the question about, you know, a Franciscan. Of course, I did it with a humorous angle. But what's a nice Franciscan like you doing about the bloody business of war? But there is a Franciscan tradition with Saint John of Capistrano and Blessed Marco d'Aviano, who were sort of instigators. In the battle of, well, let's see, respectively, the siege of Marco d'Aviano was at the siege of Vienna, and John of Capistrano was at the Battle of Belgrade. They were actually, they weren't fighting, but they were there in the fight, among the fighting men, carrying crosses and urging the men to fight. So there is something of a Franciscan, at least a Capuchin tradition of promoting a crusade against Islamic aggression, correct?
Yeah, but it goes back to St. Francis. St. Francis participated in the Fifth Crusade at Damietta. He brought a priest along to be chaplain for the troops. In prayer, it was revealed to him by God the outcome of a battle. And after the Crusaders lost the battle, by his own courage, he crossed the enemy lines and went to convert the Sultan. So we follow our Seraphic Father. If he had the courage to be a military chaplain, then that's something we should do. And many friars, Mark, these two saints you mentioned, were military chaplains. Blessed Marco Aviano was so zealous that when he heard the Austrian Emperor ready to, Holy Roman Emperor ready to sign a treaty with the Turks that would have left five Catholic villages under Ottoman rule, he said, no way are we going to have peace. We have to liberate all those Catholics. So it goes back to our Lord. Most people think in modern times, especially the socialists and commons, have tried to get Christians to think that Jesus Christ was a pacifist. They forget what our Lord said in Luke 22, where he says, now has come the time where those who do not have a sword should sell a cloak and buy one. And the apostles say a couple verses later, we have two swords, and our Lord says that's enough. So if our Lord felt that his apostles, which are greater than even the bishops, should have the arms to defend themselves, then obviously lay people should have arms to defend themselves, and obviously the apostles who are sent to care for us, if they should have arms, then we who aren't even clergy should bear arms to defend ourselves.
And of course,
and to defend the weak and innocent.
There is a venerable Catholic tradition of the just war doctrine, being articulated clearly by Saint Augustine, and then added to substantially by the mendicant scholastics of the 13th uh-huh. century. Correct.
Exactly. The just war is the use of military force to restore a just order among men. So as soon as one Catholic village is captured by any civil power who's persecuting Catholics and denying their freedom of religion, Catholics have the right to wage war against that power and liberate them. Mm-hmm. We not only have a right, we have a duty to our brothers, because every Catholic is a member of the mystical body. If your foot is a prisoner of ISIS, you're going to liberate it with your hand, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And but modern society in the West, with all its propaganda, wants us to act like Masons want us to act. And so they teach us to be tolerant of what we should not tolerate and to be negligent of what we should do. So what we're doing in the Ordo Militaris from a Masonic point of view is completely heretical and completely suspect. And matter of fact, in our first month, I think we had about 10 intelligence agents from different parts of the world contact us, pretend to be members. And we've learned pretty much how to identify who they are, because we're doing something that is just like so out of the blue. I mean, you know, it's like you're taking a page from the Middle Ages and bring it into the present, which is. But the Catholic faith is eternal. If it was right then, it's right now. If it was just then, it's just now.
Yeah.
Brother, if it was needed then, it's all the more needed now.
Okay, so I think most of the listeners on the Veritas Radio Network are going to be convinced. I mean, they're listening, by the way, to the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. I think the listeners are going to be convinced that there's a legitimate need, and we don't need to make an anti-pacifism apologia any further. The you're using the word order, ordo militaris catholicus. Now, so the question is this an actual order with ecclesiastical approbation, or is this a private association of the faithful, or is this a civil corporation, or what?
Okay. At the present, there is, in the Catholic Church, no religious order of dedicated to a military function. There is still three or four orders that are actually knightly orders, the Order of Malta, the Teutonic Order, and the Order of the Holy Sepulchre, who are dedicated exclusively to humanitarian purposes, although the Teutonic Order still takes veterans as its member. But our order is to be a military order the way it was in the Middle Ages. We are only in our first 6 weeks. We already have like 20 recruits of different kinds. But we differ from that in that we're presently only a private association. We can't become an order until we would be recognized by the Apostolic See, and that means you have to show that you're worthy of it, and that takes years. I mean, St. Francis took 20 years to get his order recognized. Uh-huh. But secondly, because in modern times, the concept of religious discipline that we have in the order, like in your community or in the Franciscan order, is something that requires years of formation, and it's not something that your average soldier would even comprehend at the beginning. So we are organized at present. We're just a private association. We have no recognition because we're scattered all around the world. We'd have to have three in the same diocese. We don't have that yet. Secondly, the political climate, even in the church, is not something that would comprehend what we're up to. But church law doesn't require that we have recognition. So
you can be a private association without episcopal recognition.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, we don't need it for the work that we're doing because we're not engaged in ecclesiastic activities. Mm-hmm. Now, we want chaplains for our men, obviously, and for that we'll have to have some kind of thing. But, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So we have a rule for our men that is to sanctify them as soldiers, to avoid, keep them in the state of grace, keep them on the right path, avoid the main vices of soldiers. But it's only 15 simple rules that any practicing Catholic who's a soldier could keep, and the obligation is geared to charity towards our neighbor through helping the persecuted, the suffering, through military and security actions, and charity for one another, encouraging one another in virtue. If you read our rule, most of it is to encourage one another in virtue.
I just read it. It's very admirable. I mean, it's obviously you highlighted some of the principal vices of the soldiering profession, the men of arms. Mm-hmm. They're told to keep each other from getting drunk, and not to use profane or especially blasphemous language against God and the saints. So there are some moral prohibitions like that, but also they're being encouraged to honor and virtue and all of the kind of Catholic ideals of chivalry, right?
Yes,
defending the defenseless.
Exactly. And taking up the cross. The essence of our spirituality is to promise for the love of Jesus Christ to take up his cross and imitate in him in the way he risked his life for our salvation. So the soldier risks his life for the redemption of fellow Catholics. And he actually will take the words of the promise are actually that he will take up the cross and he becomes by member of our rule, the member of the fellowship of the cross. It's the way we think of ourselves. And I'll read it. This is what he promises. For the love of our most high Lord Jesus Christ and King, I pledge the service of so many years as a soldier. And at the end of his vows, he is given a cross to kiss, and then the knights present say, Deus vult, for there is no greater love than to lay down his life for the love of his brothers. And then he's welcomed into the order with the words, blessed the men who merit to bear our insignia, which is the blue cross of the Crusaders. May theirs be honor in life and glory in the world to come, because we want to keep our point of view on eternal life. Solving any problem in this world is only a temporal affair, but getting to heaven is the main objective. Now, our order is not just for the military men who would actually take a pledge. It includes any other kind of participation by any other kind of Catholic who can help us support them, because as a private military force, we have to fund ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to arm ourselves. We have to ship the men over. We have to supply and support them during the missions. We have to take care of them afterwards if they're injured or killed. So all the other kinds of lay people who support what we're doing can participate in all those ways. We're trying to find national chapters in all the nations, the Catholic nations of the world, and local chapters. Like in the United States, we already have a chapter in Kansas. We have our international headquarters and our national headquarters in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And we're working to open an office in France and in Spain. And I'm currently in discussions to open one in Lithuania and in Brazil.
Okay, so, brother, we're going to go to break. And when we get back, I want to try to unpack some of the things that you just said there. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Channel of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.
You're listening to Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it. Exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.